The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Tyler Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify.
And stream the show 24-7 at TNTRadioEmpire.com.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta, about 10 minutes from now, I got a new book out called World War C. It's basically how can we handle the next pandemic, right?
Right. Lessons from this time around so we do the next time better.
Yeah. He's a scientist and we're not, so I like to pay attention to the scientist.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll handle the next one better.
Yeah. What's up, Craig? Oh, tomorrow we got David Duchovny and our comedian buddy Josh Wolf in the studio. Looking forward to that.
The next one originates in Wuhan, too. We're not going to stand a chance.
No.
Everybody's going to be like...
No. Yeah.
Thinking it's manufactured.
Yeah. And Josh said he did a one-nighter in Wuhan. That was kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It was on this date in 1912, you might remember where you were when an assassination attempt was made on former President Theodore Roosevelt. The papers in his breast pocket saved his life.
Was it like a really thick papers?
I'm sure it was a Bible.
Yeah. It's always the Bible, isn't it?
Always the Bible.
Always the Bible.
Always the Bible.
No, I think it was something else. I forget exactly what it was.
Or the crucifix.
Yeah.
It's a pretty weak
papers.
Bullet.
Sometimes it's like tobacco
it
pouch
papers.
Or something, too. Yeah.
His rolling papers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His rolling papers.
Well, you might have needed them back then.
Yeah.
I don't know when the pre-rolled came into existence.
Yeah.
But if your rolling papers will stop a bullet, aren't they a little thick?
Yeah. They still light, though.
They were thicker then.
Yeah. It might not have been much of a bullet.
Could be. You might be right. Small caliber. You never know.
Or it could have been from a long way away.
And he was a tough bastard, too, man.
Did he just brush that off and go about his day?
Yeah, he's San Juan Hill guy. I've watched a couple documentaries about him. He was amazing. He didn't care.
And a big national park guy.
Oh, yeah, he was.
He's got one named after him.
Yeah. I wasn't going to bring that up, but that's okay.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
I do. It's in my news feed all the time.
Of course it is.
Record-breaking crowds at Yellowstone this year.
I saw that, and you're pissed because people are out doing things they wanted to do.
4 million people. Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah. I've been.
Okay.
And I go when it's not busy. You can do that.
Yeah, I've got a Facebook friend that is put some pictures up from like a national park in the mountains and stuff with his, like, they're on a honeymoon, and he and his new wife look like that couple.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to bring it up anyway.
I looked at it
you
and
said
we said, oh, he's going to leave her in Teton Park.
Every time I see a photo of a young couple in a park, I think she's dead.
Yeah.
That's not just because of this most recent one. It's happened more than once over the past 10, 12, 15 years. And somebody goes in the woods or into the desert and the guy walks back out.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know where she's at.
So that, right. Like, they're just celebrating. It's like, oh, man, you know I hope she's okay.
Had to be safe. Yeah.
Okay. I just read the Teddy Roosevelt getting shot story.
Right.
You ready for this?
Was it rolling papers?
You were right. He's a badass.
Yep.
Okay. So he gets up. He's going to talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he says,
so it knocks him down at least.
No.
No.
Oh. No, no, no. It was bench day. He's stepping up for a campaign speech. Yeah. He steps up and he says, friends, I shall ask you to be as quiet as possible. I don't know whether you fully understand that I have just been shot.
Oh. That's a badass.
Yeah. And he says, it takes more than that to kill a bull moose. He opened up his vest, showed them his blood-stained shirt, and then he reached into his coat pocket and pulled out this 50-page speech that was now bullet-ridden. Ah. He held these up. It had two big holes blown through each page.
Two.
He said, well, perhaps he had it folded.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
To make it 100 pages. He says, fortunately, I had my manuscript, so you see I was going to make a long speech, and there's a bullet. That's where the bullet went through, and it probably saved me from it going into my heart. The bullet's in me now, so I can't make a very long speech, but I will try my best.
Who was
and
the guy?
Then,
did he catch the guy?
I haven't gotten to that part.
Okay, all right. All right.
I didn't read to the bottom of the story,
right, okay.
But yeah, they did. He says, he gave a speech for another 90 minutes. He said, I give you my word, I do not care a rap about being shot, not a rap. His voice weakened a little bit. His breath shortened. He glared at aides whenever they begged him to stop speaking or put themselves around the podium to catch him if he collapsed. Only when he was done did he say, all right, now I'll go to the hospital.
Man.
The bullet was in him the whole time.
Man.
Man, you know there was somebody in that audience that thought, oh, sweet, we don't have to sit through a 50-page speech. And then he just did it anyway.
The guy that shot him.
That smacks of so much urban legend.
The shooting happened just before 8 o'clock as Roosevelt entered his car outside the hotel.
An early morning assassination.
8 p.m.
Yeah. Okay.
And he stood up in the open-air automobile and waved his hat with his right hand to the crowd. A flash of a Colt Revolver 5 feet away lit up the night. A stenographer quickly put the would-be assassin in a half Nelson, grabbed the right wrist to prevent him from firing a second shot.
A stenographer.
And they called it the half Nelson?
Yeah.
Back in 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been around for a long time.
Yeah, it is.
That's a badass stenographer.
You put him in a full Nelson and just put his face in the ground. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it's a badass stenographer.
An assassin warrants a full Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have to show both. Yeah, and then the gun's behind
you. Don't know. Like,
then he might shoot you.
Right? You don't know how big the stenographer was. Maybe that's all it took.
Yeah, but I got you. But the full Nelson, both hands are behind the guy's back, and he has the gun. He can shoot your wiener right off.
Yeah, so he put him in a half Nelson. That must have been the concern.
That was a concern.
I'm saving my junk.
Right.
So even right after he'd been shot, there's a crowd around, and the crowd goes to get the would-be assassin, and they're about to rip him apart. And they said, Roosevelt said, stop, don't hurt him. Bring him over here. I want to see him.
Right.
And he said, what'd you do it for? The guy didn't answer. He said, what's the use? Give him to the cops.
All right. He should punch him in the face.
So there we have
point.
A little
history lesson today.
Our history lesson for the day.
According to
history.com.
About half of that.
Really?
He should have sat down the assassin and then made the speech just to him, like Puss said.
That's a part of it that would have bummed me out the most if I showed up here. Yeah. I had a 50-page speech. Oh, God. No.
Well, it was different back then.
Yeah, they did talk like that.
People hung out forever. Yeah, they had nothing else to do.
Right.
That is how a lot of people actually gleaned information.
Right.
We have actually lost that as humans, the ability to listen and retain information.
Yep.
I just watched that Tom Hanks movie where he plays the guy that goes around and reads the news to people.
What's that called?
I think it's called News of the World.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
All right. Yeah. But that's his job. Just goes to all these small towns.
Okay. Right. He goes around from town to town. And
that's why he's protecting the girl, right?
Yep.
That movie. Mm-hmm. I watch it. Yep.
Reads the newspaper to people.
And they listen.
Yep. Well, that's weird. Well, Craig, people listen to Craig. Sometimes.
I don't.
Yeah. I'm in and out.
Thank you.
What Todd said.
I try to listen to it all.
Yeah, I do too.
It gets tough.
Four sentences
you
in.
You can't really stick with everything.
Yeah.
All right,
sometimes you're not like, it doesn't take long. You're like, oh, wait, what? What's going on? Oh, that's right. I should probably listen.
Are you fluffing, Sanjay?
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Okay.
All right.
Oh. and we all smoke and drank a lot more during the pandemic. We will get into that a little bit more.
Yeah. And we'll continue
just a bit. Drank, got fat.
All right.
Yeah, a lot of people did. For sure. A lot of people did. And
but not Adele.
No.
No, she got fit.
Right.
I have to start exercising again. I had a pretty successful run for
you
a while.
Did. Yeah.
And then in my sleep, I pulled the rib muscle. I think I just rolled over too hard or something.
Yeah, when you're sore, it's tough to exercise. You're right.
Yeah. That and sucks. Then I've been out. I needed to let it heal. I'm like, okay. Yeah, yeah. And now it feels a lot better, but now I'm just like, man, that seems like a lot of work, like lifting those weights and stuff. I just have to get back down there.
I pick them up. I just put them back down. And, you know, if I were to go somewhere with them, that'd be fine.
They're heavy.
Heavy for no reason.
I pick them up. I just put them back down. It's like digging a hole and filling it back up. What's the point?
I don't feel so bad. Bruising a rib, swinging a golf club.
Yeah.
Nick was sleeping. I hurt a rib while I was sleeping.
But he sleeps violently, apparently.
I guess
apparently.
I do.
Yeah.
But I wake up, you're like, what happened? You're like, oh, nothing happened.
Are you a thrasher?
I guess.
No, you could sleep, or you could twist it anyway. You know, you're not 18 anymore.
I must have just been in a contorted position and moved the wrong way.
I've done that too.
Tweaked something.
I've laid down sometimes in bed in a contorted position while I'm awake, and I'm thinking this is, and I stay there too long. I'm thinking, why am I doing this? I can tell this isn't good for my body. And I'm still just laying there.
That's the epitome of laziness.
I know it is. It is.
Not moving while you're in bed.
While you're in bed, not moving.
This isn't comfortable, but God, I don't want to move my leg.
I'm laying where my back is twisted right now.
But moving?
I've done that. My back feels twisted. I'll lay here more, conscious, knowing it's being twisted right now.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Dumbass.
So today's sad news is that the FDA is releasing new guidelines, and they want us to have less salt.
Well, I don't. Salt is in everything, so I don't ever use salt on my food.
Or sodium in particular.
Well, sodium in particular, but they're releasing new guidelines regarding salt in food.
All right.
So sodium in food, salt in food, call it what you will.
All right. We love this guy. From CNN. Of course, he's got a side job where he's a doctor. And his new book is called World War C, Lessons from COVID-19 Pandemic and How to Prepare for the Next One. Our old friend Sanjay Gupta. Hi, Doc.
Welcome, Doc.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Does this imply that some point COVID will be over?
Because of writing the book, is that what you're saying?
No, no. How to prepare for the next one, which means that this pandemic may go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it will. I mean, now I know I was supposed to talk to you last week, and it's interesting because the numbers change even within a week.
Yeah.
And they're improving. You know, I mean, the cases are going down, hospitalizations are going down. Favorable direction, and I think a lot of people have been asking, well, we're going into winter, so isn't that going to make it worse? And that's a fair question, because that's usually when these respiratory viruses spread more. But I went back and did all this analysis on the 1918 pandemic and the 2009 H1N1 pandemic, and what you found was that in both those cases, they had the big surge right around this time, the beginning of October, and then the numbers came down and they stayed down. So it is possible that we are nearing at least the worst of the pandemic, that we won't have a surge of cases, hopefully, like we've had now. It's always, there's always the possibility of a new variant or something like that, but been keeping an eye on those as well. And, you go down the Greek alphabet, everyone talks about Delta, but they're looking at Lambda and Mu and other variants, and they don't look as concerning. So fingers crossed that we are you know, seeing some daylight finally.
Okay. In a perfect world, Dr. Sanjay Gupta with us. In a perfect world, Sanjay, especially because we all thought people were going to be smart, when the vaccine came out, if, say, I'm going to go with 100%, if everybody eligible would have went and got it within the first month or two, what would have happened this past summer?
I think the overall hospitalization and death rates would have been a small fraction of what they were.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, there was a study that came out just yesterday saying 90,000 deaths could have been prevented over the last 3 months alone if people had been vaccinated. I always say that stuff. You know, it's funny, you report on it, and then my chest hurts a little bit when I say it out loud to you, because 90,000 people.
I know.
I mean, I have these conversations with my kids. I have three teenage daughters, and the thing I tell them a lot of times is, this isn't normal. I don't want you to think that this is normal, that, you know, that in a given time period, because of a virus, that, you know, 700,000 people just die.
Right.
They're just gone. That shouldn't be normal to you. And I think if people had taken the vaccines in higher numbers, it wouldn't have prevented all the deaths, but it would have prevented a lot of them. Yeah. And I think that's what's so striking.
Yeah, would it have shut down the Delta variant if everyone had gotten vaccinated when they could?
Well, sorry, what would it have done to the Delta variant?
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, the thing is, when you look at the vaccines overall, when they started to see Delta variant, they started doing trials where they made a Delta-specific vaccine as well. So it was a vaccine that was more targeted toward the Delta. And what they found in those trials was that the existing vaccine was working really well against Delta. It was preventing, you know, 90% plus of severe illness and death. So they didn't find a need to really change up the vaccine at that point, which meant that the current vaccines would have been effective. Had they been, I mean, they are effective. They would have been even more effective if they had been more widely utilized. So, you know, and you see places around the world where that's case, where you've had higher uptakes of vaccines, and you see the corresponding drop in hospitalizations and deaths. You may still have cases because the vaccines, they can reduce the risk of infection, you know, eightfold, but that's not perfect. There are people who will develop breakthrough infections. But I think the question
I'll step in here, Dr. Sanjay. I was vaccinated right away back in the spring because I was, pro-science, and I wanted to get to protect myself. And I got my wife and I both got a breakthrough about a month ago. And we both had like a bad cold for 2 days, really bad cold. My throat was sore, nothing major, nothing in the chest. And then we sat at home for 2 weeks and we were fine. People a lot younger than me, my age and a lot older than me, all died from this. And why can't people understand that the vaccine, all it did was just give me a sore throat for 2 days, the breakthrough?
I don't know, why that is. Yeah. And we've had vaccines for a long time, right? I mean, we've eradicated even a disease like smallpox, close to eradicating polio. And, you know, kids get their vaccines when they go to school. I don't think, typically it's not an issue. People always say this is super politicized. And I guess that's it. Although I don't know what that really means, because when I talk to people who say, well, I'm not doing this, and I'll ask them why. It's not that they don't believe that COVID is real necessarily. They do believe it. And they don't even believe that the vaccines are bad or dangerous. They know that they work. They are oftentimes reacting to the idea that the mandate is really just so antithetical to personal freedom and liberty and all that. And you can't tell me what to do. And I always, I always sort of bring up this idea that doesn't the personal freedom of your fist end where my nose begins?
Right.
Think of personal freedom and liberty, which is something I advocate for as well, strongly. But can't you see the difference with a very contagious disease? And I think that there's just a breakdown there. It's really unfortunate. It makes me sad in a way, because I think there was so much celebration around the science of these vaccines.
Yes.
Understandably. I mean, soft-spoken, humble scientists would say to me, this was our moonshot.
Right.
And I'd say, man, that sounds like a hyperbole, but it was. Oh. And then to sit there and watch people sort of
not take
really
it.
Yeah. Demonize it, stigmatize it, it's heartbreaking.
Can you explain to me the vaccine hesitant healthcare worker?
Oh, my God.
I've spoken to some of them. I had a long conversation with a couple of them just yesterday. I mean, I guess what I would say is that when you think about the ideology that's so entrenched, healthcare workers are not necessarily immune to that either. I think the assumption is because they, you know, you work in hospitals, you're surrounded by this knowledge about what the vaccines are, how they work, that of course you would take it. But these political ideologies are very strong. And, you know, some of these healthcare workers will say to me that if I do this, I'll have friends that won't talk to me anymore. I'll lose friends if I tell them I got vaccinated.
Oh, God.
Like, how could that be?
All right.
How could that be?
Doc, can I ask you?
It's true.
Does World War C, is there some hope in the book? So people pick it up. When they pick up to read the book, is there hope in the book,
yeah.
World War C? Okay,
yeah.
Great.
I think it's a very hopeful book.
Good.
I mean, look, what I think, the headline for me was that we are going to keep having new pathogens because, you know, the population of the world is expanding. There's viruses that live in all these various places on Earth. They're going to keep jumping into animals, to humans. That's going to keep happening. So novel pathogens, that's going to happen, but pandemics don't have to happen. That was basically the headline. And when I talk to scientists all over the world, as well as pandemic preparedness folks in the government, they said that it is possible for a country, for a world, become pandemic proof. We're going to keep living with these tiny organisms. We got to do this dance with them, but it doesn't mean that what happened over the last 2 years has to happen again.
Thanks for
and they even put a price tag on it. United States, $30 per citizen could make us pandemic proof. $10 billion a year.
Unbelievable.
Right. Do we have to let him go?
Yeah, we do. World War C is the name of the book. Sanjay Gupta. Sanjay, we appreciate all your work.
And one more question, if you could call back tomorrow.
All right.
Just a real quick one. Just take a couple of minutes.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thank you, Sanjay. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks, Dr. Gupta.
All right.
Bye now.
Yeah, the unvaccinated healthcare worker to me is just dumb.
Yeah, I can't wrap my brain around that.
Because if you work in any business, you would tell, like, I'm trying to think of an analogy with us. Like somebody, I don't believe that when I talk on the radio, people hear me.
I'm trying to think.
Wherever you work at, you are disagreeing with the reason you're even there. If you're a healthcare worker,
you're disagreeing with a base belief in your business.
In your business, this medicine helps you better. Right, get better.
Right.
Yeah, they'd be like Nick saying, like, I'm not funny.
No, it'd be Nick myself.
It would be like us saying, I don't think radio signals work.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We're just talking into a box.
Right.
There's no way.
You don't believe the tower works?
Right. Those things couldn't be transmitted from over the air.
Frequency modulation is not real.
No.
But I think that's different, though, because your belief wouldn't put somebody else in jeopardy.
Oh,
like,
I know,
these unvaccinated healthcare workers are totally putting these patients in jeopardy.
You can't make sense of it.
No, you can't.
You can't.
I felt like a kid trying not to laugh in class twice during that interview.
What was the first one? Another second.
Craig farted.
Oh, you farted? Was it loud?
Audibly.
Was it loud?
I don't know if you could hear it or not, but I was like trying not to laugh. And then when he said jump into animals,
we both looked at pussy. You were you had your hat off, shaking your hair around, and I said, both Nick and I looked at each other, and we pointed to you. Jumping in animals is all I heard, too.
All right, Laszlo is checking in on the attempted assassination of Teddy Roosevelt. The half Nelson, with wrist control, was the most effective move, except maybe a double wrist lock with pressure on the gun hand. A full Nelson would have left the hands free to fire a shot.
That's what I said. Your hands behind you with in a full Nelson, you still got the gun. You shoot off the guy's wiener.
Yes, I'm a moron, but I love that stuff.
All right.
That's him. But he speaks for all of us.
So I just got a text from our engineer. He says, so my job isn't real? What the hell am I doing?
Exactly. Not real.
It's not real, Josh.
Listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler, and our podcasts now are easier than ever to find.
Just download the iHeartRadio app and search Todd and Tyler.